So I am so thankful to be here this morning, and I'm so thankful for all of you. It's great to be in the house of the Lord with you. Isn't it good? Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here. Tell somebody else, I'm glad you're here. We welcome friends and guests this morning. It's good to gather in the mighty name of Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. So do you have your river updates? You got your outlines there? All righty. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Father, thank you that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we open up our hearts this morning to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. Lord, I thank you that you have a right now word for every person that's sitting in this place. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are their teacher and that you will teach them today, that you are their comforter and you will comfort them today. So thank you, Father, for the moving of the Holy Spirit today in our midst. And God, we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise today in Jesus' name. Could we just give the Lord a shout of praise? Hallelujah. He's a good Father. I'm thankful that the electric is being taken care of. Amen? Amen. Well, we started out this series laying a foundation regarding being called of God. Many of us say, I'm called by God. Well, what does that mean? You know, if you're talking to someone who is not a Christian, that would probably be a little out there. You know, I'm called by God. Really? And, you know, even some of our fellow brothers and sisters, they haven't heard the voice of the Lord. They haven't yet been awakened to discern the voice of the Lord. So that would be challenging for them, too. So we want to know what we're called to. And we laid a foundation from 2 Timothy 1:9. And the scripture says, if you would read it with me this morning, is it up there? Okay, who has called us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So God has saved us and he's called us with a holy calling. We're not called according to our works, but we are called according to his own purpose and his grace. And it was given to us in Jesus Christ before time began. So let's think about that. Before we were conceived in our mother's womb, God already determined his purpose for us. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had already determined the grace that you would need to succeed in this life. He's been thinking about you for a long time. And we are on the planet Earth for such a time as this. You know, when I was thinking about this morning, I thought, think about the first 12 people that Jesus called to him. He called them. He said, come follow me. That word called actually means to receive an invitation. Tell your neighbor you've been invited. See, Jesus is inviting us. He's calling us and he's saying, come follow me. And the first 12 guys that he picked, well, they were fishermen. They worked in the industry of their day. They were just ordinary people, kind of like working in the factory, working in an office, working on an assembly line. Ordinary people, hard workers. And Jesus saw them and he called to them. You see, they were the ones that the rabbis had overlooked. See, the rabbis decided they weren't qualified to go through their teachings and through their courses. The rabbis would call disciples to them and they would teach them. Well, these guys hadn't been called. They were the ones that were, well, they just weren't quite good enough for the rabbis. But they were good enough for Jesus. Because before the foundation of the world, he already knew what was in them. He knew that they would follow him, and he knew Judas would deceive him. But he knew what was inside of them was going to turn the world upside down. That these guys were going to stick and stay with him, even though the world had disqualified them. Come on. The world will disqualify us and put us to the side because we don't have enough education, or we don't have enough money, or we don't look good enough. They'll just disqualify you because they go, the world judges according to the material goods that you have and your place and position in society. Well, I have good news this morning. That's not what Jesus is looking at. Hallelujah. Jesus is looking at the real person that you are. He's looking at all of the potential and the gifts and the talents that he has planted on the inside of you, and he is calling you. Tell your neighbor, there's hope for me. Praise God. Yeah, there's hope for us this morning. You know, God doesn't judge the way man judges. No, God looks at the heart. And he knows what's in our heart this morning. And he is stirring in our hearts. He is stirring in our hearts. Because he wants each one of us to fulfill our God-given purpose. And our function and place in the earth. God will position us for his glory. You see, it's not according to the works we've done. So it's not according to how much education you have or how hard you have worked in the factory. It's according to his purpose and his grace. God's calling you this morning. And it's interesting, as I was meditating this morning, I thought about the Apostle Paul. He was called after the 12. He wasn't among that first group. But he was the most educated and polished person that received the call at that time. He was a very educated man. The scripture says he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. In other words, he knew a whole lot about religion. And you know, Paul was so deceived because even though he was educated and the Pharisee of Pharisees, he was out killing Christians thinking he was doing God a favor. Sometimes religious folks will try to stomp on you, stop you, kill the plan and purpose of God in your life because they think they're doing God a favor because you're just not quite qualified according to them. Come on. Come on, church. God's calling you this morning. God qualifies those that he calls. He doesn't call the qualified. But he qualifies those that he calls. Now, because Paul was an educated man, he wrote most of the New Testament. You know, if you're an educated person and you have applied yourself, God is going to use you mightily. But how he uses one person is not any greater than how he uses the other person. Because we all are working together to accomplish God's will in the earth. We are connectors of heaven to earth. Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is praying for us this morning. And he's praying, I pray those folks at the River of Life finally get it this morning. I pray they get it, how much I love them and how much power I've put on the inside of them. Because we are in Jesus Christ. We are in Jesus, and Jesus is in us, and that is a powerful, powerful force. Yeah, come on, let's praise him for that powerful force. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the power that you've given us. But you know, Paul was so highly educated and he had so much going on in his life that God had to knock him off his horse. Didn't he? He just knocked him off his horse and humbled him before him. And God used all that he had put into Paul for his glory. But there had to be a major turnaround in his life. There might be someone sitting here this morning that you know there needs to be a major turnaround in your life. God's been working on you, talking to you, and he's been humbling you. You know, God resists the proud. He resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. So God is working in our hearts, and he qualifies those he calls. And as I was meditating this morning, I thought about a video that we have about that in our library. Was it there, Aaron? The March of the Qualified or the Unqualified? Would you please play that, Sterling? And it gives you a rundown of the men that Jesus called and the women.
Can't use you. Think he only uses perfectly qualified people? Take a closer look. Moses was not a great speaker. Jonah ran from God. Jacob was a liar. Noah got drunk. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Jeremiah was depressed a lot. Solomon was rich in wisdom, but poor in lifestyle. John the Baptist was just plain poor. Timothy was too young. Abraham was too old. Lazarus was dead. Sarah was barren. Naomi was a widow. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. So did Sarah. Peter lacked self-control. James and John were self-righteous. Paul had a short fuse. Well, so did Peter and Moses. Actually, lots of people did. God's army isn't perfect. It never has been. It's the march of the unqualified. Get in line.
Amen. Get in line. Tell your neighbor, get in line. All right. Let's go on to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 8 through 12. And it should be up on the screen. Would you read it with me? Therefore, be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Amen. God has called you And God has appointed you. God has anointed you and appointed you for this time and this season. You are alive for a reason. If you've been looking for a reason to live, Jesus Christ is the reason to live. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed his mind about you. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." Is it up there? "And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." Now, in both these passages, we see there's an appointment. God appointed Paul to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher to the Gentiles. He appointed him. The word appointed means to place. You see, God has put a purpose and talents and gifts on the inside of you. But there comes a time that you receive God's appointment. There's an appointment for each one of us. Our appointment may be out in the marketplace. It may be out in the factory. It may be in the office. But God appoints us. He connects us according to his will. He connects us with those that he wants us to connect with. When we're walking in his will, now I'm telling you, you can connect with people you shouldn't connect with. Yeah, you can get hooked up with a crowd that you should not be running with. Who you run with makes a huge difference about where you're going. If you've got friends that are not encouraging you and supporting you to go in the right direction, then you need to break off those relationships. It doesn't mean that you can't talk to them. You can't encourage them in the Lord. But you know, when you hang out with someone too much and they have your ear, they're going to start telling you things that are going to influence your decisions. Words have power. Tell your neighbor, words have power. And since words have power, words are seeds. The scripture says they are seeds. And people will plant their seed in you. And sometimes their seed is destructive that they're planting on the inside of you. You've got to know the voice of the Lord and get around those that hear God's voice and will support you in all that God has called you to be, so that you reach your highest potential in the Lord. Because God will give you the grace and the power to accomplish it. There's nothing too difficult for God. We were going to sing this morning, "With God, all things are possible." But I'm just going to declare it this morning. With God, all things are possible. They're possible. God does the impossible through ordinary people if we'll just trust him. He appoints us. He places us. And he actually makes a place for us. Our gifts and our callings make room for us where God has assigned us. He makes a place for us. He gives us a purpose. And he settles us. Another meaning of the word appointed is sink down. Just settle down and sink down into your appointment. Jonah tried to run from his appointment. You know, it was a pretty big assignment. When you study that out, it was a big assignment. And in our natural thinking, we would logically think this is impossible. And so you would run the other way. But with God, all things are possible. The more we know God, the closer we come to God. Hallelujah. The more we believe what he tells us, the more we believe what his word says. the less that we doubt him. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12 says this. Let's read it together. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ shall be to the praise of his glory. Jesus Christ has given us inheritance. When we accept that invitation of Jesus Christ, we receive an inheritance. He has already predestined that according to his purpose. Tell somebody it's his purpose. I say God has a purpose for us. Our responsibility is to discover it and to obey it. And that, does that mean it's going to be easy? Tell your neighbor no. That doesn't mean that it's just going to come easy to us. But we know that we will find fulfillment when we obey the Lord and do what he's asking us to do. We see this all the way through the Bible. God did not call perfect people. And so often we think, well, we just can't do it because we're not ready. Well, when Apostle Leonard and I, this is my husband, Apostle Leonard, and when we planted the church over 21 years ago, we started with an outreach program with mostly our family and a few friends, and we went down into the inner city, down on 6th Street, which is called the Hole, and we did evangelism for 10 weeks. For the first 5 years of this church, we sacrificed every Saturday in the summer to do outreach. Every Saturday, there was a group of people that would gather with us. And sometimes our own church folks didn't go. But you know what? God would send people from other churches. They'd come in and they'd say, hey, we heard about your program and we thought we'd come today to help. And we're thinking, praise God, God send help, because we're getting ready to go out into the highways and byways. You see, God has called us to go and to bring them in. We discovered early on, people were not lining up at the door waiting to get in. That's why it's called the work of the ministry. That's why God says go out into the highways and byways and bid them to come. You see, he shares a parable about a wedding. And at that wedding, there were a lot of invitations that were sent out to very special people. And those people refused the invitation. They had all kinds of excuses about why they couldn't go to the wedding. And so they said, go out into the highways and the byways and ask them to come. And that's what they did. And the wedding was full. It was full. So we have a commission and a call upon our lives to get out into the harvest fields and work that harvest. How many have ever had a garden? Did your tomatoes come in the house all by themselves? Did your carrots just jump out of the ground for you? I think you probably even had to plant some seed to get that harvest. So, you know, many people will go out and sow seeds. Sow seeds of the Word of God, the love of God. And that was their job. And then you'll come along and you'll begin to water that seed. You see, everyone is working together as the body of Christ. You begin to water that seed. And then pretty soon, here comes someone, and they pull in that harvest. Well, we're called to be harvesters. We've sowed lots of seeds over the years. We've watered lots of seeds over the years. And this is a harvest time for the people of River of Life. If you'll just step beyond any timidity or fear and invite someone to come, they'll come with you. Because this is our time. This is a harvest time for River of Life Community Church. And so we go out and we gather in the harvest. Because God has ordained us to do works for Him before we were ever even born. Let's go to Philippians 3:12-16. And we're going to read this together. This is our activation today. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So God has called us, and He's given us an invitation. And after we accept that invitation, there's a press that begins. There's a pressing in to follow God. That word press comes from the Greek word dioko. And it means to pursue, to follow, to be given to suffer persecution, to press toward. So there's a pressing that takes place. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. It's an upward call. We've got to keep our eyes upward. Our thoughts need to go upward. We can get so disturbed by what is going on around us that emotionally we get entangled in that. But God wants us to have an upward call. He wants us to set our affections on things above. There is plenty of peace in the heavenlies. There is plenty of finances in the heavenlies. Whatever you have need of, all you got to do is ask. There's plenty. God has more than enough. He's not running out of anything. There is no scarcity mentality. You know, as humans, sometimes we get this scarcity mentality. There's not going to be enough for me. Oh no, we're going to run out. Where God comes from, there's plenty for us. That root word for press comes from the root word diakonos, which we get our word deacon, and it actually means to run on errands. Do you know we run errands for God here on the earth? We are servants of God and we're running errands. God will send you on an errand. Sometimes we know it's a God assignment and sometimes we don't know. But wherever we go, we are spokesmen for the Lord. And He will give us the words that we need. We don't have to worry about that. But the scripture says this word is to run on errands, to be an attendant, a waiter at the table, or in menial duties, a deacon or a deaconess, a minister, a servant. So you see, God has called us to serve. We press on to serve God. And if we're serving God, that means we're going to be serving other people. We are called to serve. It's a full court press in this season to serve. God wants us to be his hands and feet and to do his errands here in the earth. You know, there isn't any job that God asks us to do that we're too good for. I remember we had an employee that told me, I don't do grunt work. I'm like, what? What? Well, you're not going to last here. Because we all do whatever needs to be done. And we don't think about it. Oh, well, this is grunt work. We need to get someone who grunts to do it, you know? I think that was the first time I'd ever heard that word. And I'm just like, okay, this is offensive. I don't like this word. But we're not too good for anything. And, you know, unless we're willing to get mixed up and other people's messes, we're not going to make a difference in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all about getting mixed up in other people's messes so that the water of the Holy Spirit can flow out of us and wash them. What good does it do us to have water if we're not using water to clean something? Of course, we can drink water, but we use water to clean most of the time. And so that water comes out of us. The water of God, the river of God flows out of us to wash people. And I pray this morning as we've sat together that the water of God has washed over you. That the water of God, the life of God has washed away the dirt and the grime of the world. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. But I'm telling you, so many times we stink like the world. Come on, we get mixed up in stuff. We go into a restaurant, you come out, you smell. You smell? It used to be really bad when everyone smoked. You'd come out smelling like smoke. My mom would say, have you been smoking? No, mama. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And we have to be willing, though, to get out and get mixed up with messes. Jesus ate with sinners. You know, he was not afraid of them. He ministered to those who were in need. And so many times I hear Christian go, oh, I don't want to be around them. Well, you know, I really believe that what's on me is going to get on them. Because doesn't the scripture say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? So we can get mixed up in people's messes and release the living water of God and release Jesus Christ into their life. We don't become like them. We're pulling them higher. God's called us to a high calling. He's told us to walk worthy of that call. He's called us to press toward the mark of the upward call that is in Christ Jesus. We press. How do we press? We serve. Think about that. We serve. That's how we press in. We can say all these things, but what do they really mean? They mean that we give our life to God and we are servants wherever we go. We go to serve. My friend, Prophetess Vernella, who knows Prophetess Vernella? That's her tag, called to serve. Called to serve. That's who she is. She's called to serve. And she demonstrates the kingdom of God by the way she presses on. You know, I believe if you will serve, God will give you the energy that you need. Is that true, Leslie? He will give us the energy that we need as we serve. We are called to serve. We're called to press in to everything that God has for us. That just doesn't happen. We take one step, God takes two. I was sharing when we started our outreach program, we started with Leonard's red pickup truck, my keyboard amp, and a jam box. That's what we had. We bought popsicles, candy, prizes for games. But we didn't have any fancy equipment when we started. We just knew that God told us to go. And we bought a theater that didn't have any chairs and didn't have lights. So, hey, we weren't ready to start church, but we knew we could get out and invite people. And that's what we did all summer, every Saturday. We went out. Some of you went out with us. You remember those days. Hot, sweaty days. But God moved. And God is moving today. He wants us to press in and serve. The down and outer. Those who need a word from Him. You are the lifeline. You are the lifeline. Just get a picture of that. You are the lifeline to reach somebody. To reach somebody and bring them into the kingdom of God. To snatch them out of the kingdom of darkness. God's given you that authority to speak the word, and He brings them out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. That is the season that we're in. We are in an apostolic season of being sent into the highways and the byways to bid people to come. Thank you, Lord. Will you go? Will you go? Will you go? Yes. Is that what we say here? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for your word that's gone forward. Thank you, God, that you've appointed us to bear fruit. And Lord, I just release over each person a clarity and an understanding of their position in the body of Christ. Lord, and I release their identity in you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to talk to them right now. Talk to them right now about who they are in you. I break off the word curses that have been spoken over them. I break off all of the lies that have told them that they are disqualified. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work of the cross and the life of Jesus Christ, we release His truth into your heart and into your soul. God is speaking to you. You are valuable to Him. You're valuable to Him, and He made you worthy. I hear someone thinking in their thoughts that I'm not worthy, I'm worthless. But the Lord is saying to you, I make you worthy. It's not according to any work or works that you could do, but it's by my grace and because I sacrifice my life for you. Jesus is calling for you to come higher. See everything from a new point of view. Be seated with Jesus in heavenly places. From everything becomes new. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you. Draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is good, good, good. He's a good, good Father. You can just study your outline. The points in the scriptures are there. If you would like a Bible study this week, it's right there in your bulletin about what God has called us from and what He is calling us to. He's speaking to us this morning. Amen. Do you hear Him? Are your ears open? Thank you, Lord.